Fourth and three, Anger out to punt, and it's blocked. Taysom Hill is through with the punt block, and the Saints recover at the 30-yard line, and that's the kind of play this team needed in this game.
Put him at quarterback or tailback and let Taysom, it's the Taysom Hill show. Look, the Saints, the first punt, they almost were able to get that punt, and that one, he comes through clean, and fortunately for the Buccaneers, it just bounces right underneath him. I mean, but Taysom comes through, they run a twist, a stunt up front, and he comes through clean, and that ball, it doesn't bounce back.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am having... It's kind of like a Moscow Mule, except I didn't have lime juice, so I used lemon juice. And instead of ginger beer, I used a mixture of ginger beer and Sprite. And I threw in a little cherry juice, so it's nothing like a Moscow Mule.
You got to make up your own name for it.
Right? It's a Crimea Mule. All right, anyway, okay. So the first half of this episode is going to be really bad. And then Taysom Hill's going to block a punt. And the second half of this episode is going to be off the chain. Nah, but seriously, if you're ever in a slump and you need somebody to put your train back on its tracks, all you need to do is dial up some Taysom Hill, who apparently has a pair of defibrillators. How do you say that? Defibrillators?
Got it, Donald Trump? Mocking?
Samsonite. All right, to bring you back to life... It was a gloomy day, and the field conditions were less than ideal. The Saints seemed to come out playing it a little too safe, and the absence of Terron Armstead was seeming to have a trickle-down effect on the team's ability to execute the predictable offensive game plan. But rather than focusing on the negative, let's celebrate the fact that this team, who's been able to find creative ways to win so many times this year, bounced back after a six-quarter slump. And now owns the NFC South and is in the driver's seat for the number one seed in the playoffs. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands, legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm zero, but I'm back to celebrating with a glass of wine, especially considering we won the division back-to-back, first time in franchise history to go back-to-back. So, of course, I'm going to celebrate with a little glass of wine right here. But that's going to be it for me tonight because I drank a lot this weekend.
Ah.
Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
Some general holiday spiriting.
Company Christmas party Friday, and then Renee's sister's 50th party Saturday, which I didn't intend to drink, but we were there for like 8 hours and went through wine, and then they got Crown, and then, yeah. Then they brought out some crazy moonshine.
Oh, wow. All right. Well,
so it just kind of, spiraled and tumbled.
So then, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling like champs there, Jeff.
Like champions, 2 years in a row. This isn't the first time the Saints have won back-to-back NFC South championship, is it?
Or yeah, did I not just say that?
I didn't hear you.
Divisions, period. Whether it's NFC South or the old NFC
or West. Yep.
So it is our first back-to-back. Okay.
That's what I said.
I didn't listen.
Like certain Stingrays from 1997, 1998.
That's right. That's right.
So, if history lesson. When the Saints first won the old NFC West with an 11-5 record in 1991, they went 12-4 the next year. That'd be one game better.
And lost to San Francisco.
Well, but the San Francisco 49ers went 14-2, those sons of bitches. This is our first back-to-back championship.
Right. All right. And so we are, thanks to the Rams... And the Bears, we are back in the driver's seat, went out, and we stay home for the rest of the for the whole entirety of the playoffs. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a look back at what happened in Tampa Bay and the game recap. So, for the longest time since the game started, all the way up to maybe about 3 hours ago, I was planning on coming into this episode. Almost being that guy that says, yeah, we won, but... and wanting to point at this stuff. But I ended up talking myself out of that, saying, no. This team did what you want them to do, what you expect them to do, what a good team needs to do, and that's find a way to get out of that slump. And luckily, the slump only lasted six quarters, so I don't think yesterday was a bad game. If anything, yesterday was a great game. I mean, we kicked their ass.
The grittiness and the resolve of this team to find a way. Look, I mean, it was bad. Those first two quarters were bad. I have, you know, the two of you's text chain, and I was at. It was a party at Bivens for his 40th, and we were watching the game, and you guys were texting, and I'm like, the world is over. Jeff's like, they're so predictable. Season's over, blah, blah. We suck again.
They are predictable.
And I was just, look, I'm enjoying the party. I'm not going to overreact. It's just a half. It's still Tampa. And division games are wonky. Even division games are Tampa. They always seem to be wonky. Even though it did look like they were playing kind of careful or tepid, maybe it was the field. Mm-hmm. It just didn't look right, but you guys are bitching at me for... Damon said, put my head in the sand. I'm like, well, fuck, the game ain't over. I'm not going to be mad now. And then the next quarter, oh, shit, it's all turned around and we're going back to the Super Bowl. You know? Fucking pace yourself. That's why I don't check Twitter during games, because you scroll through, it's all the, oh, God, this is one of those days, we're done. And just like, and then it switched, and then Taysom happened.
But that's the thing, that sometimes you need to vent and let it out in a safe environment, or else it's like you got to release that steam before you blow your shit. So, yeah, we needed to kind of like vent and yell, and it's good that we have the text chain to do that so we don't do it on Twitter and look like fools. But, yeah, sometimes...
Sammy, shut up.
But, I was frustrated. I was angry. Damon, you were too.
Yeah, the first half was frustrating. No doubt.
No shit, for it, right?
3 points, kind of frustrating. On a team that's, you know, that we're used to putting up 35, 36 a game. Yeah, the first half. Like you said, I think a lot, their field, not that it's a bad stadium or anything, but, you know, yeah, it was sloppy. It was not the nice confine, home, and the dome was 72 degrees and perfect conditions, 72,000 fans, which on another note, I mean, fuck, did Tampa, have they just stopped showing up?
I told you last week they were giving away tickets.
How can you do that?
They did.
Fans or the
Jacksonville probably used to do that too. But
I mean, look, it didn't help it. It was a monsoon, so you know, if your team's now that's different for us. Look, we get the dome, but if your team's 5-whatever and they're out of the playoffs, your coach sucks, and there's a monsoon.
Do you want to sit through that? Right.
Right. Right.
Well, like I said, I ain't missed a game in 30 years. That wouldn't be the case if we played outside. it's nice knowing that once you sit in your seat, everything's fine.
Right.
But no, I mean, was it frustrating? And right, did the environment have something to do with it? I guess, it didn't help. It's not helping it. And how many games, even us, a couple of games this year, where when the defense got an interception or made a big play, did it spark the offense? That's football. That's not just the Saints. That's every other team also. And, yeah, Taysom Hill blocked punt, and it sparked something. And we outscored them.
25 straight.
25, right. 25.
Shut them out in the second half.
Right. And it's hard to even put that last touchdown on the defense. That 7 they got going into halftime with the interception.
Yeah, and on their side of the field.
Yeah, but, I mean, our defense is playing well. No. So, yeah, so we were all frustrated in the first half, like I'm sure a lot of Saints fans were. And then, yeah, we got into gear, 25 points in the second half. That's about what you want.
You should have known it was going to be good when they had two missed kicks in the first half. Thank you, former Tulane kicker Cairo Santos.
And speaking of kickers, and I wrote this down during the game. I wanted to talk about it. Man, William Lutz is just money.
Oh, you call him William? Call him William?
Yeah. Well, because I'd call him William Money. You know who William Money is?
Bill Money?
William Money? You know who Will Money is?
Bill Money?
Out of Missouri?
Nope. Thank you.
But it's just so nice to have a kicker. And again, I'm watching the game yesterday, and, you know, the Kansas City kicker missed one in regulation. Pittsburgh's kicker missed one to lose to the Red. It's just so nice. Will Lutz comes out there? I don't even worry about it. But,
yeah.
Back in the day, remember, we need a field goal. Oh, we need a field goal. Oh, this is so scary. Nope. He's going to make it. If I'm not correct, he's only missed one this year.
I think you're right, yeah.
You know, so hats off to Will Lutz, man. Hats off to him. So nice not to have to worry about that position anymore.
Especially, and I was talking to it now, it seems like ever since they, you know, expanded the or lengthened the extra point, it's gotten into kickers' heads. There's so many, even though they're just missing field goals, there's so many more missed kicks now.
Yeah, it does seem so.
Well, I guess. I don't know. Or
are you noticing them more?
Or do we notice it more because, again, I believe I heard the stat. Give me 2 seconds.
Is today's millennial kickers not the grizzly
barefooted kickers from back in the day?
They're not tough enough. My safe space needs to be protected in order for me to make a kick. You know?
But also we talked about a couple weeks ago about kicking and or the games, how, you know, most games are 3-point games. Houston, Indy, 3 points. Baltimore, Kansas City, 3 points. Miami, New England, 1 point. You know, it's just kicking is so – the teams are so close nowadays. The NFL has got the parity that they wanted, and kicking is huge. It is bigger than it used to be because of the parity in the league. So, but anyway, hats off to Will Lutz. And then even though we had 3 yards in the first half, rushing. I think we finished with 96 somewhere, not 100, but just shy of 100.
But I know both Kamara and Ingram ended with 50 for the game. And that was one thing, like after the block, the first play, Ingram 11-yard run. Like, just amazing, the turnaround.
Well, and I want to throw it over there. Maybe this is kind of an opportunity to do so now that you're back on this game. and not kickers in general. And I'm stealing this from a tweet that Davis Douglas sent in, so we're not going to read it during the tweets, but it is worth this. What I think is kind of one of the narratives of the game, which is, one, congrats, champs, NFC South champs, but curious what the bigger story of this game is. Is the bigger story that the offense has been flat for 6 quarters, or that we came back to dominate the second half, and like domination of that second half, and then along with that domination, how much of it was the Saints back to predictable or not? Like, to me, the whole thing about the predictable
they're not predictable. It's your standard excuse. It's not predictable. They're not executing.
You know what they're going to do. You know he's going to throw it to Michael Thomas or Alvin Kamara is going to get it. If you can hone in on those two players, you can.
Well, wait a second, Jeff. I think that's every team.
Jeff's just totally being totally uneducated.
I mean, I think that's every team in the league, you know.
Throw it to your star
player. The Patriots for years, Gronk's going to get it when he's not hurt. Well, yeah, that's right, because he's great.
Right. You know? But could I finish? The point of the reason the Saints are so good is that even with that being the predictable nature of our game, we still were successful in the execution of it. And that's how good of a team we are. So
we're executing. We were executing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That 6-quarter function, we're not executing. That is the difference.
Right. The players. The
it's team. Not because, we're so predictable, blah, blah. We weren't executing.
But we are predictable.
What?
We are predictable. I can tell you there's an 80% chance that Kamara or Thomas are going to get the ball every play. That's okay.
But you don't know how they're going to get it.
Well, okay, I'm not complaining about it.
But I'm saying the difference.
You're also making a stupid statement.
No, the difference between the six quarters where we were flat and the rest of the season has been the execution, the ability to do it. What was it about those six quarters?
Oh, God, what did I just say? Oh, my God. I turned you around on yourself.
No, you cut me off and you said,
I said the
execution. I was trying to get to. Maybe I was getting a little too long-winded to get there. But my point about the – no, I'm maintaining the predictability. What I'm trying to say, though, is why weren't we able to do it for those six quarters, and now we're back to doing it?
Because our offensive line was getting whooped and we weren't executing properly. We were getting beat at the point of attack. That's not predictability. That's getting beat.
Just being able to impose your will.
Not doing your job. That has nothing to do with being predictable.
Okay. I get, you know, tomato, tomato. Imposing your will is succeeding in the execution of that predictability. Like you said, every team's got two or three stars. You're right. Every team's got two or three stars. I'll concede that. And you're going to push, enforce the ball and give them the ball as often as you can. Every team's got
the reason why we had a funk was not because we predictable. That's what you made it sound like on your text. Oh, we're so predictable and we suck. That's not the reason why they got to a funk.
I was angry, and you're angry.
It's not because they. Yeah, well, yeah, I know you were. That's why I didn't want to answer. No.
To play into Jeff's point, receiving targets. If you take out Kamara, the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys have less than 12 targets, where Michael Thomas had 13.
Look, I'll agree. We don't have enough.
But again, But the man catches, he caught 11 of 13, and I don't know his full numbers for the season, but he's catching at he's like 87%, you know, 80%.
It's absurd.
So, fuck, I'm going to throw it to him because he's going to catch it.
I mean, well, not only did he catch it, but have you noticed that they're pass interfering him a lot more often now? I mean, they are playing so rough. And I don't want to be the guy who complains about it. Because he's still catching it, even though you're holding it one arm behind his back.
You don't want to be that guy, but you're going to be that guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be him.
He has to preface it before saying it.
And then I can say it. And get away with it.
Okay.
Maybe I'm using too strong a word with predictability. But what I'm saying is we were able to impose our will. Then we weren't. Now we are again. The offensive line and the trickle-down effect. Well, shit.
Look, we need Ginn and Armstead back.
Yeah.
What if we get Ted Ginn Jr. back? I haven't heard anything about.
Well, he's eligible. He's eligible now.
If he can come back, and maybe he can, because remember there was some ligament damage too. So maybe he's done for the year. Fine. But
do they actually activate Brandon Marshall for the first time?
Right. Another quality wide receiver would help, and especially someone like Ginn, who stretches the field. And if you go back to Sean Payton, you know, on offense, we always are most dangerous when we have someone who can stretch the field and have that joker back like Kamara, you know, who does the Sproles, Bush roll, you know, who can do everything.
Yeah, and they definitely don't have that right now.
Well, with the stretching the field, correct.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if we can get – and then obviously Armstead. We need Armstead back.
Yeah.
I love Bush Rod. All respect to him. But he's getting
it. No, yeah, he got worked. He was able to survive for like a game or two. And
right.
He's back up.
And now, he is the weakest link.
But getting back to that – you know, the tweet you stole, really the biggest thing about this game is, again, the defense. Our defense is good.
Yep.
Our defense is very good. Tampa, I believe, led the league in passing yardage and maybe total yardage coming into the game.
I think they were second in total yardage.
But it's not like they were a slouch, and we held them to – oh, God. I mean, I think we held them to under 100 yards in the second half.
Right, I mean, Winston finished the game with 213 yards. You know, I think he was their leading. Yeah, he was their leading rusher with 47.
Yeah, yeah. So we held them to under 300 yards total offense.
Yep.
Got four more sacks. Our defensive line, man, Cam Jordan with two more sacks, and the continued great play of Rankins, who might be the MVP of the defense so far. His growth from solid guy to, I mean, shit, he might be an all-pro. The way he's playing, he's close.
I don't know about all-pro, but he's close. But from where he was, and
he has just had a phenomenal impact on this team this year. You know, the continued strong play by the defense has been amazing because defense will travel and it'll dominate at home. I mean,
right. Defense definitely travels.
How much do you credit old Crab Legs for screwing up too? I mean, he was playing pretty good for the first two quarters, and then it's like he just forgot how to play football himself. Or is that our pressure, our defense started getting to him?
I think because I don't think we had any sacks in the first half. So that all came in second.
It felt like we were not really getting much penetration at all in the first half.
No,
That's why I chose those words. All right, y'all got any final thoughts on the game before we get into the next segment?
Zach Lyon with a touchdown.
What?
Mr. Zach Lyon with a touchdown. getting back to the receivers. Traquan Smith has really looked like a rookie. That drop he had.
That was an easy catch.
Just catch it and fall, man. He tried to make a move. You could tell he was starting to make a move. Like, dude, just catch it.
Damn, that was a nice one, too.
Is a question, I mean, that's it. The lack of receiving talent behind Michael Thomas.
Which is really lacking. Really, really lacking.
It wasn't in the beginning of the year or even in the gauntlet. It was recent.
It wasn't during the gauntlet, but it's for some reason it feels like it is now.
It's something about maybe that goes back to they are that way because they are inconsistent.
I mean, it's just a lot of inexperience there.
All right, let's get into look at them tweets. All right, quite a bit of tweets here. We'll run through them. Giovanni Turner comes in with, speaking of, since he dropped the pass, anyway, as another Joe Horn tribute, should Traquan Smith just have run into the ref on the flea flicker? I'm guessing that's a callback to a Joe Horn play.
Yeah, I think I do remember.
I do remember the Horn play.
Did he screw up a flea flicker because he ran into the ref?
Well, the ref screwed it up. He shouldn't have been standing there.
Or that.
Yeah, it was for a touchdown. It was at the goal line.
Oh, the fucking ref. All right, Jake Arrow says, what's up with Brandon Marshall? You brought him up earlier. Is he ever going to play? Ooh-wee! What's up with that?
The only thing I'm guessing he's been here almost a month now, you know, at least 3 or 4 weeks, is that they're just trying to get him into the playbook? I mean...
He's veteran enough. I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
You have terminology.
Or, I mean, maybe they see him in practice and he doesn't have it anymore. I mean, that's possible.
That could be it, too.
Oh, we brought him in. All right. Young Matthias says, he also gives credit for this post to something he found on Reddit. But basically, in 2009, I wanted a Super Bowl for the city of New Orleans. But this year, I wanted... for Ingram, Kamara, Thomas, Davenport, Jordan, and all the special players on this team. Plus, if Super Bowls is what it takes to mention Drew Brees as the GOAT, so be it.
Yeah, I want a Super Bowl for me. Because I really enjoy when the Saints win the Super Bowl so I can gloat and feel good about myself. Even though I have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right, you contributed money.
I contribute, right. But, I want one for me. If those guys get it, nice for them. But
well, you know what? Speaking of that,
it's 100% so you control the Falcons message boards and the.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We
were talking on Sunday. I mean, if they win one, Courtney gets a ring.
Oh, wow.
Working for the organization.
Wow. He gets like a legit ring.
Yeah.
Nice.
That would definitely be cool.
All right. He will be the coolest of our friends. Next one comes from James Tabor. It says, okay, would you rather face the Bears or the Cowboys in the playoffs?
The Cowboys.
Both.
Both is your answer, but I want to beat the Cowboys.
Wait, why would you want to face both?
I want to beat the best.
We're going to get the playoffs.
And I'd also rather face the, honestly, I mean, I'd rather face the Bears and that shitty fucking offense, you know, in the Superdome, like we said, in nice weather. Because I don't think Mitch Trubisky and that offense can put up
more than 15 points.
Right,
no,
right.
No, I mean, he was terrible last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, they
and what did they do? They tried to eat the clock, ran the ball. We are good at stopping the run. So I think it would be favorable to have them in the dome.
So, that, yeah, I mean,
the Rams can put up.
That's true. You'd rather the two of them versus over the Rams then.
Right, right. Dallas, I want them for a, again, I want to beat them because all they've talked about for the last 2 weeks, you know, they keep using the Saints game. Oh, well, we beat the Saints. You know, if you listen to the talking heads on national, you know, oh, well, you know, we beat the Saints. So, see, that's their Super Bowl. You're saying you're good because you're comparing yourself to us.
To the best.
So I take that, you know,
they do have a
compliment.
Yeah, they have something to hang their hat on. They did beat the best.
Right.
You want to beat them. You want them in the playoffs at home because you want to put them back in their seat.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I want Sean Payton to run the score up on them in the Superdome.
Now, the Bears would be nice because it's, okay, y'all come play us at our home because of what y'all did to us in 2006 is not going to happen.
That would be nice, too. Yeah. Right.
See, that's the thing. I mean, they're setting up. They could do a revenge tour, whether it's, you know, Dallas or even Seattle. With all the losses we've had up in Seattle in the playoffs, let's see Seattle come in here, knock them off. You beat Dallas for revenge for this season, and then the Bears the revenge for 06. Like it's setting up nice.
Right. Well, we only get to play two of them. We can't play.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We got options.
The Rams, they have no revenge factor there.
No,
I mean I don't
for them.
The Rams.
No, you're right. I mean, because
there is for them.
They were good in the old NFC West, but you know they weren't the 49er. They really never kept us out of anything. So I don't have hate for that. And then we have seen them in the playoffs. And I don't remember how that ended. Somebody dropped the ball. Who was that?
Hakeem!
Oh, yeah. Hakeem dropped the ball. You know? So you're right. So I don't have a playoff vendetta against them.
Right. And the Rams, really, you think about this whole season. The Rams were paper champions all along. And when you look at what we did to them, you look at what the Bears did to them. And I think that if Dallas has to face off against the Rams before we get there, I think we're playing Dallas. I think Dallas beats the Rams.
A lot of people said that. If you remember last year, the Rams had a very good team, and a subpar Atlanta team went in there. They were in the playoffs. But, you know, not the greatest Atlanta team went in there and beat them. They were one and done. So everybody's curious. I mean, look, we're talking about the Rams. After watching that game last night, man, if you shut down Gurley, I mean, Goff threw four picks. His QB rating last night was 19.1.
Woo!
So I don't feel like I was telling Doug this earlier. Look across the NFL. Name me a team that has a great offense and at least a mediocre to, I think, very good defense. And I'll give you a little stats in a second. You know, the Bears have a very good defense, especially for 2018. Their offense is crappy. Rams, crappy defense. Kansas City Chiefs, crappy defense.
Dallas has a good defense, but not the offense is average.
Right. Maybe
a little above average. So Dallas is right now. I mean, you look at maybe that's not how they started their season, but where they are right now, which you talk about how teams evolve over the course.
You're right.
Dallas is a threat.
You're right. They seem more balanced than the Rams. But I still think we are
in the dome. We beat Dallas.
Right. I think, look, how do I say this? Defenses that have held teams under 20 points or less, okay? Chargers have done it 7 times. The Cowboys have done it 8. The Bears have done it 8. The Ravens have done it 7. Saints have done it 9. Okay? I mean, that's pretty good. And since we let the Rams come back, you know, by 21 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Okay, not counting garbage, in my opinion. Garbage time touch. the Bengals scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter in garbage time. Falcon. Eagles scored zero. Falcons scored one in garbage time, zero. Cowboys and Bucks, 0-0. So that's pretty, a defense holding the opposing team to 0 points in the second half, I like it.
Yeah. Done that three times in the last five games, I think.
Right.
The defense is what's kept us in some of these games. I mean,
right.
We even saved our asses against the Bucks until the offense got their shit together. All right, so let me read the next tweet, though. So you're talking about all the Rams and all these teams and shit, and you're talking about defenses. So Big Easy Gaijon says, can the haters who said the Saints fell off or, quote, are not the same offense, can you now shut up after the Rams put up six? It's happening all around the league. Saints, Rams, Colts, getting shut down by great defenses. It happens.
Right, right. And in the cases you're talking about, both defenses were at home, the Rams and the Cowboys. They were at home. So I don't know. Yeah, defense wins. It's the NFL. You're going to lose games. I mean, one team gone 16-0. So I don't – yeah, but here we were on such a high, it felt like we lost something. But, my God, we lost the game. Relax. We've right. done it twice.
Now, next week, we got to come out next week and firing on all cylinders. But if that's if that's the case, then we had a slump for six fucking quarters.
Right.
That's pretty good.
This isn't college football where after two losses, you're out of the championship.
We're literally in the driver's seat for the number one seed.
Right.
Right. Right. All right. So, all right. Next week, speaking of the Bucks game, and now let's get into a little bit of the Drew Brees goat talk. Anthony, which is also known as at Lil Tappy. Before the Cowgirls game and the first half of the Bucks game, Drew Brees was undoubtedly the leader for MVP, but not anymore. And I still feel he's the GOAT, but what do you think is wrong? Is age catching up with him? The season could be wearing him down.
No.
And these are Anthony's words, not mine. Lotapi. This is Lotapi. He's first-time tweeter. Go easy on him.
Look, he's not going to get the MVP.
That's not necessarily the case.
It's going to be Mahomes. It's definitely going to be Mahomes.
Yes. If you look at Mahomes, Mahomes had a terrible interception Sunday, fumbled the ball. Their man did jump on it, though. I mean, and quarterback rating, Brees still beats him, and QBR.
Right, but
still
it's also
him,
more about a media story, and they're, I know for a while, Brees had it. For a while, Brees had it, but now they're back. Look past yes.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Right. Yeah.
Jerking off.
Well, again, that's on December the 10th. They're talking about that. There's still three more games. We end it, 14-2, and the narrative is going to be Drew Brees is in the twilight of his career and has never won the MVP. And obviously that, he's one of the greats. He has all the records.
We have two losses on the year.
Right. And he's still having the, and everything. So I'm not necessarily, Shannon Sharp talks about it, and he can say his only argument is look at the touchdowns Mahomes had. Yeah, 12 touchdowns. Well, that's not how you give out the MVP, who had the most touchdowns. Because there have been years that Brees had the most touchdowns. And somebody else did something. Now look at this. They're always changing moving the.
Well, he's just trying to present a counter argument so that there is an argument. They're grasping at straws. And the point about the short memory, right? Everybody's talking about this week how, because he had a bad six quarters, I guess he's out of the running because he had six bad quarters. Okay, well, in that six quarters in the last 2 weeks, completely forgotten and thrown away everything that he was doing for the first, 12 games of the year. None of that matters because he had six bad quarters. He's out. He's done. Mahomes is perfect. Mahomes is the best. So if the short-term memory is that drastic right now, then yes, in 3 weeks, those six quarters, nobody's going to even remember them.
Right. And look.
You're still going to look at it and say he threw three interceptions on the year.
Right. And look, Patrick Mahomes is throwing up all those numbers because of their bad defense. And that's what they have to do to win games. And as Saints fan, we know about those numbers. we're very familiar with having a bad defense and having to put up 30, 40, points a game, 400 yards a game. And no one was talking about how Drew Brees was the MVP then. Now, yes, our teams were more closer to 500 than the Chiefs, you know, 11-2. So that might have something to do with it also, because the team, you know, when Drew Brees was doing that, didn't have the winning record.
Nope.
But anyway, look, it'll be decided at the end of the year. Like I said, I'd much rather, and I'm sure Drew would too, a Super Bowl MVP.
Right. Yeah, I'll take that. I don't need Brees to win a personal MVP.
No.
Well, also, I want to say, like, the last 6 or 7 MVPs who made it to the Super Bowl all lost the Super Bowl.
Okay, then he's done. Pat Mahomes for the MVP. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll take Super Bowl MVP. Is right. Okay, Aaron King says, we're back in the driver's seat. The defense is keeping us in games. Do y'all think the Saints are too emotional and that creates confidence issues? Or have they figured out, I guess he's talking about defenses, have they figured out the Saints offense?
No, they haven't figured out the Saints offense.
No. I love being emotional. I mean, have y'all seen, obviously I'm sure y'all have the, okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you were saving it for another tweet.
No.
The locker room videos?
Yeah, no. I didn't have a tweet for that.
Okay. Yeah, these locker room videos are fucking awesome. I love it. I love the team celebrating. I love the camaraderie with this team. Just awesome. And it looks like they've taken to the Choppa style song. There might be a possibility that we could maybe finally replace Krunk, maybe finally.
No,
which we should.
They're not gonna.
Play we're all over Krunk. You're over Krunk.
Yeah, but Krunk.
Maybe we could replace Drew Brees too.
Because that, yep, over. That totally makes sense. Yep, totally makes
wow,
sense.
Because it's old and Jason tired of.
Totally makes sense.
That's why
totally
Jason,
a good comparison.
That's why Jason shaved.
That might be the best
he
comparison.
He got tired. He got tired of all that hair on his head, so he just shaved.
That is the best. Comparison
yes, because
ever
no.
Made.
It's you would been a like tradition it. For the last 8 years, you bald-headed, cock-sucking faggot.
What?
No.
We can move
just
because
you don't fucking
that's
like it doesn't mean it needs to be changed,
damn,
you cocksucker. No.
Damn,
Jason doesn't
you
like
felt,
it. Jason, take your opinion and shove it up your fucking ass like all the cocks. Okay? All right? Take your opinion and shove it up your ass like every cock you have up there. So go fuck yourself, you fucking little bald-headed queer.
All the time.
You know?
Oh, Jason. Oh, Jason don't like the song. Jason, you haven't liked the song for the last fucking 6-7 years.
He has.
Name is going to be so mad. When we
right, so no one cares about your fucking opinion. No, your opinions are stupid.
All right. So the
yeah,
next
yeah, how
week,
about that, huh?
The next
yeah, week. Your opinions are stupid.
Somebody
I don't want to hear
them. I think Taysom just blocked the point.
All right, the next tweet is, why does Damon feel so strongly about the Choppa song not
being
wow,
that's a good
tweet. Instant tweets. All right, let's see. Actually, I need to check Instagram to which I, since we're now on Instagram, we got to make sure we didn't get any comments there because it's not just look at him tweets. It's look at him grams.
Sounds like a drug dealer.
Look at him grams. Yeah, the Choppa song is being played. So the Beer Baron commented there, says, oh, look at him grams. I dig it. Now that the South has won, how would you balance the rest and recovery for key players? Or do you keep it balls to the wall? P.S. I love the show, guys. I've been listening for a long time. And, yeah, I remember, Beer Baron, you used to tweet at us. So I guess welcome to the grams.
Well, yeah, look, obviously we're fighting for the number one seed. So, no, we haven't accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. So, yeah, still balls to the wall.
Right.
Until that number one seed is locked up, everybody must play.
Yep. All right. So that was our one look at it, Graham.
Eh.
No, huh?
It's not a look at it tweet. It's a look at it, Graham. I said, eh.
Yeah, but it was look at him tits. Look at him big old juicy jugs.
Yeah. Throw the knife.
All right, and then I'd also need to check the Facebook. I got to get this preloaded up next time.
We don't have a tweet from Neil at all?
Oh, we did. Well,
I know it kind of took off into a...
I don't know how to read it without spending 6 hours because they went off into a tirade off on one another because Neil had a tweet about Taysom Hill recording a podcast. And then I think Ash didn't take kindly to that, and they ended up going back and forth for about 35 tweets. Ended up in just basically some memes being shot fired at at each other. Or us. I don't know. I lost track. But I think ultimately what it boils down to is Neil saying that the Dome Patrol podcast is better than the Saints UK podcast. And they didn't like that, right?
We publish every week.
Well, that's the truth, though. I'm sorry. They're still young. They're just, I don't know how many... They've been doing it for what, a year?
They're like the Traquan Smith, the podcast.
And then they
drop a flea flicker.
They'll get better. They're not bad. They're I listen to them every week, as I think both of y'all do.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I tweeted them out.
Other fans.
Disappointed.
Yeah, other fans listen to them. But are they as good as us?
I think Ash just, he just doesn't like the fact that Neil, a fellow countryman, chooses the Dome Patrol podcast over... them. He feels like he should be loyal to his country.
Well, poor Ash doesn't have it. His country is dominated by, England, so it doesn't matter. That's why so that would make sense why he would feel like that. Okay, that makes sense. All right, because he's always under oppression his whole life. That would make sense.
Yeah, he's glad
he doesn't understand the sweet taste of freedom we have here in America.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I don't know if that constitutes as shots fired, but I'm sure.
No. I'm saying
fired.
They are a good podcast. I look forward to listening to them every week. I love when they come over here. They're passionate Saint fans. They're knowledgeable. Oh, they have a very good show.
Well, they're very, very knowledgeable.
They're not as good as us, though, I mean, okay, who's playing tonight? Russell Wilson.
I'm sure they know.
Right, okay.
I'm sure in their opinion, they wouldn't have picked them on their night.
The Pelicans are playing tonight. That's who's playing.
Hey, is Russell Wilson a good quarterback?
Yeah.
He's probably pretty good.
He's average.
He needs a good quarterback.
He's average.
But is he as good as Drew Brees?
No.
No.
I don't think anybody's arguing that.
Well, no. I'm comparing the podcast.
I see what you're saying.
Sorry.
I know you did. Jason's kind of slow.
I was focused on the basketball game.
Picking up what you're putting down. All right. So let's move into the segment within a segment, which is back with a vengeance this week. Sponsored by Green Bomb, it's Taste Some of This. So this one, we got two of them to read. There were a lot of them, actually, but I thought about just reading them all. Actually, I thought about just making the whole Look at Them tweet segment, Taste Some of This segment based on the block punt. But we got so many good tweets that he's back to relegated to his one or two tweets a week. All right, so this one comes from Paul Perrette. Says, has anyone checked on Greenbaum since the game? I'm concerned that after Taysom's punt block, he might still be lying quivering in a corner in a semi-unconscious state. Greenbaum did, of course, throw in his tweet, Taysom tweet of the week. But you know what, Greenbaum? I think this week with a block punt, you're going to have to sacrifice and give it up to Paul Perrette and Hot Wingman, who says, Taysom's block was the equivalent of Bill Pullman making the "We will not go gently into the good night" of Independence Day. What a response from the team! I mean, and we all know like that was clearly the catalyst. But damn, it was a light switch.
It was pretty crazy how just whoop, there it goes.
I mean,
it was pretty stunning.
What?
Sometimes that's all you need, man. Momentum's a thing.
Momentum. Momentum is a real thing.
That's something that you can't find in analytics.
Nope.
You can't account for momentum.
And again, it's a play that obviously, spiked our players and deflated theirs.
And remember that thing we talked about Sean Payton saying in a post-game conference earlier in the season where he said, the team responds to Taysom Hill getting
runs and good plays and whatnot. That's why, and that's part of the reason they like to put him in there. The team loves him. The team's behind him. When he gets stuff, he gets so excited. He's so pumped up. It motivates the team. And I guess that hasn't changed. So, there you have it. Taste some of this. Let him run out of the tunnel with a baseball bat for the playoffs. I bet I'll hit a home run. All right, that brings us into Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. Yeah. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it.
Okay. We've got 2 weeks to get through. Due to last week's early recording. So for week 13, Jeff went 3-2. Damon went 3-2. I went 2-3. So at that point, Jeff was 39-24. Damon was 34-29, and I was only slightly above 500 at 32-31. So this week, I don't know. Maybe it was because we recorded on a Saturday morning. I mistakenly slipped a Monday night game in here. The Minnesota-Seattle game. I think just because I was just looking for some good games to stick in here. So we got 2 weeks in a row of being incomplete. But through the four games so far, Jeff's 3-1 and Damon and I, or Jeff is, 3-1 and Damon and I are 2-2. We all won Indy.
I'll pop the Colts game with a tie.
No, Houston was favored by 3, and Indy won.
Okay, all right. You sure? Okay, because I had the Colts were favored.
The Colts won the game. And it was in Houston. They were favored by 3.
Okay.
He won outright. Jeff was the only one to win the Dallas game. Which, God, I really thought Philly was going to win that game. Some wacky, weird calls in Dallas.
Well, if they had just made him kick the freaking field goal instead of letting him score a touchdown.
Well, that too.
We'd have still won by half a point.
We all had the Bears. That was a nice win. And then we all had Buffalo, who, of course, lose to the goddamn Jets.
All right, I'm back. What happened?
You're still in the lead.
Yeah, I know.
So, it's incomplete because we got a Monday nighter.
That Dallas game felt good. All right.
No, what a Philly, but oh well.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're still incomplete because of the Monday night game tonight.
Right. So next week we'll have a 6-game swing. In the larger league, Life of Ty is in first place with 651 winning percentage, followed by Saints Fan UK, Who Dat Fits, Ryan Angier, Drew, that's my son, and then me, and then Jake, my other son. So all three of us are in a lot dead heat race to see who's the best of us. Followed by Wheels, Saints Europe, Miso Mad, Big Easy Guy John, Chris McGuire, DJ Z, Ash, Christian Mino, Giovanni Turner, Damon, Tom Ensign, Bull Smith, Preston Allen, Greenbaum, James from the Saints UK podcast, Fuck the Falcons, Jason at 500.
Oh, I was a game. Oh, yeah. No, I'm one game above 500.
Oh, you know why? You know why? Right now, I'm counting everybody as a loss until the other thing happens. That's why. So,
of course.
But it's still the same ranking. So, Jason, okay, you're a little bit above 500.
Either way, my momentum was kind of slowed a little bit.
Yeah, Davis, Douglas, Gerald, Booty, Mordecai, Doug, Sans, Hobbs, Dr. Who Dat, and Neil. So that little losers bracket is getting a little bit bigger.
It's not quite a little losers bracket anymore.
Some separation starting to happen.
All right, so now we are on to week 15. Crazy that we're already this deep into the season. 3 weeks left in the regular season. And this is actually, so this is the first week that we get a couple of Saturday games.
Aha, that's right.
There are two Saturday games this week.
I figured
I may as well at least pick one of them, so I picked the best one.
Denver and Cleveland?
Best one, yeah, yep. Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos. Cleveland coming off a nice win against the Panthers. They have beaten both the Falcons and the Panthers this year.
Ah.
Very nice. So they travel to Denver to beat the Broncos, who were coming off a loss last week. They lost Emmanuel Sanders to a torn Achilles in practice last week, so... You know, there was some thought that maybe they could make a little bit of run, but I think
they look good again. They look good a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
they've been kind of coming on, and their schedule's pretty favorable. But they lost to the 49ers last week. That's a bad loss. So, but this game is in Denver, and the Broncos are favored by 3.
Wow.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that.
Okay, hold on. Can I make an edit point here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is bothering me. You said last week the Colts were favored at home.
That's not what I said. Houston is favored at home.
Oh, they
the Texans were at home.
Oh, they were. At
and
home.
They were favored
okay.
by 3, and we all okay. took the Colts and the points.
Okay, well that's my okay. I thought for some reason I thought the Colts were at home. Okay,
yeah. Well, you thought wrong.
All right. So this is a hard one because I kind of want to pick Cleveland, but picking Cleveland and pick'ems or anything just feels wrong. It just feels.
Oh, I'm picking Cleveland.
Dirty. Is Denver that bad? Or is Cleveland
Denver's
bad?
Okay? But okay. I mean, they lost their number one receiver to injury last week, and now they're pretty much knocked out of the. You know, they had a small chance to make it. Now they're kind of knocked out of the playoff hunt.
I mean, Cleveland has won. They went. I mean, they've won 5 games now.
That's more than they have won in
3 years. It seems.
Just
like.
Think if they had a kick like at the Super beginning Bowl of the champion. Year, they might be leading their division.
Oh no doubt.
Holy shit. Holy shit. I'm taking Cleveland. I want to see it happen. I'm with you, Jason.
I mean, look, they still have Baltimore and the Steelers. But look, the Steelers play the Patriots, us, and then I don't know who. Look at Cleveland.
Cleveland.
We all took the Browns.
Wow. This is a first.
Never thought that
this
would happen.
This is definitely a first. All right, our next game. Couple of hot teams. You got the Dallas Cowboys, I believe winners of 5 straight now. Traveled to Indianapolis to play the Colts, who I think have won 6 out of 7. They did have that hiccup against Jacksonville last week, but they had a nice win in Houston this week. Andrew Luck continues his renaissance season. Everybody's sucking off Dallas. This game is in Indy. Colts favored by 3.
I'm taking the Colts.
I know. I'm surprised with the... Well, I'm sure the money during the week will be on Dallas, so this spread will probably end up closer to 1.
I mean, they're saying they're equal on a neutral field. You know, 3 points is just what you get for being home. So.
Mm-hmm. It's more that I would think Dallas is playing for the division in this game, right? They win and they got the division.
So is Indy.
Up.
I mean, Indy's fighting for a playoff spot.
Indy's fighting for a playoff spot, but Dallas is trying to seal the deal.
I don't really think that matters. If it's a division lead
motivation.
Or a playoff, right. Well, I kind of feel there.
I think Dallas is going to win the game, so I'm taking Dallas.
All right, I'm taking the Colts.
All right.
All right, our next game, the New England Patriots, coming off a fantastic last-second loss to the Dolphins. I mean, what a crazy play to end it. You know, as good
reminded
as they've been in the division.
That play in Jacksonville that the Saints had, and then Carney missed the extra point.
I mean, I don't know why the fuck was Gronk on the field. they travel to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers, who have lost 3 games in a row. It's been all downhill since they scored 50 against Carolina on that Thursday night game. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Pittsburgh. They lost to fucking Oakland. They had their own hook and ladder to get into field goal range for a nice little chip shot, and their kicker slipped.
Well, it's like you said, that somebody said last week or something, that Pittsburgh is very inconsistent.
Well, they did lose. They didn't have, so James Conner was out last week. But
anyway, what's the spread for this game?
This game, there is no line. It's a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em. Oh, then I'm going to take the Patriots.
Me too.
I am going to take the Steelers. Hey, a home team that's not a favorite, I'll take it.
Okay.
Our next game, the Philadelphia Eagles coming off that tough overtime loss.
I'll take
the Dallas travel to Los Angeles to play the Rams coming off that loss Sunday night in Chicago.
How many points are the Eagles getting?
This seems very high. They're getting 9.
Oh,
9.
I'm taking the Eagles. This is interesting because this is the game that's like the 2 most overrated teams.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't think the Eagles are overrated.
They have the title of Super Bowl champion until.
Well, yeah, but I think people have
They're
kind
so
of,
predictable.
I think people have kind of written them off them. Yeah, you know, I don't think for the last.
Let me just make fun of them, okay? Can I just make fun of them?
Okay. All right.
Fuck them. They're overrated. Ha ha.
Well, I will also be taking the overrated Eagles and their plus 9 points.
Three-way with a cheesesteak. And look, this is a big game because the Rams have, I think, Frisco and Arizona, the last two. So if Philly can somehow beat them, that would give us another game cushion.
That would give us a cushion.
Yeah. Now we get to our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
There were a couple of candidates, but I went with a game that tried to make you think a little bit. Not just because the other game was like, oh yeah, this is overtaken. The Detroit Lions. To you to find ways to lose. Matt Stafford's the most overpaid athlete in sports. Travel to Buffalo. Play a Bills team that somehow lost to the Jets last week. Josh Allen's rushing for a ton of yards.
Their quarterback.
Yeah, they're right. Their quarterback.
I just wanted to put that out there in case someone listening might think, oh, they have a good run game. I know that's their quarterback.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Game's in Buffalo. Bills favored by 2.5.
Wow.
Ooh, not even. Ooh, see? Bastards. I'm going to go, fuck, who, I mean, this is a coin flip. I guess I'm just going to go with the points. I guess I'll go with the Lions.
I am going to go with the Lions as well because Buffalo burned me last week.
Oh, the Jets ended up, you said beating Buffalo last week?
No. Yeah, the Jets beat them.
They beat them in Buffalo also.
Yeah.
Just that changing your mind.
I mean, I hate to give up the points in a shitty game because they're shitty teams, and usually you take the points in a shitty environment. But there's a part of me that wants to just take a different team out of than you two just to create more separation. I mean, you got the same teams for Seattle or for the Cleveland.
Yeah, all but one. We took Dallas. We took the Colts. Okay, then take the Jets.
Now
take the Bills.
Now I'm taking the points.
Okay.
I'm not going to let you get a game just because I want to create separation.
Well, that would be the opposite of creating separation.
No, it would create separation in the wrong direction. No, actually, you're right. It'd be the opposite.
Bring it together, right? Yeah, closer, near, and far.
Near,
far.
Near, far.
Okay.
All right, that's it for pick-ems. Get your picks in. Remember, everybody, get them in before the Saturday game because Jason decided to throw a Saturday game in the mix, just like he decided to throw a Monday game in the mix from last week. So get them in.
Classic Jason.
And now it is time for Saints Preview.
Oh, all man, right, we actually have to listen to the terrible commenting.
What? Ooh.
The terrible Monday night crew. Because last Monday night game, we were in the stadium. We didn't have to listen to Jason Witten.
He's talking about next week on Monday night, yeah.
No, yeah,
we're going to watch it on TV because it's in Carolina.
Yeah, I am.
Sorry, may have sounded out of the book. But anyway, yeah, travel to Carolina. Panthers have lost 5 in a row.
They were 6-2 right on our ass.
Right?
I mean, this I was worried as fuck about that.
Right.
To be honest.
So what happened to them? Like, what happened? Did an injury? Like, did something happen?
Yeah. Cam Newton's shoulder is injured.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Now, I know I've been following their fan message board. And yeah. So they hate their coach. I mean, it's the same with Atlanta. They hate their coach.
Oh, Riverboat Ron. Oh,
right. He's
a gambler. Oh, he's amazing.
No, the nickname for him is Moron.
It's Riverboat Ron. Oh, Ron Rivera.
Is that how they talk?
Yeah, that's how they talk.
Also, all Carolina people sound like Scooby.
But yeah, so... And their defense, which is, I think, when you when we normally talk about Carolina, you know, they're you think about their defense. Well, their defense is playing horrible this year. That's the weakest link, right? So
Cam Newton's hurt. They lost Greg Olsen again. Christian McCaffrey's damn good.
He is. He
kind of scares me a little bit.
He can potentially get a, you know, he's going for 1,000 receiving yards, 1,000 rushing yards.
Yeah, they have the number two ranked rushing offense in the league. But that's our strength on defense. So if you neutralize their strength, and then they really don't have a backup strength.
No. Okay. Cam is hurt. The last 2 weeks, when they had to throw deep balls, they actually pulled Newton out and put in the backup.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah. And just watching highlights. I didn't watch the game. I watched highlights. Yeah, balls were sailing on him, throwing easy picks.
And this was the year, you know, when they brought in North Turner, they didn't want Cam to run as much. And now he can't throw it.
Well, he better not be running either, because, you know, you don't want
to. Look, Winston ran for 47 last week, so that is still an area, you know, we're going to have to watch out for.
Yeah, like I said, with his injury, I don't know how much he's going to be scrambling.
Winston ran, and I know Cam can scramble too, but Winston's were not designed runs.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about design. I'm talking about where we get a good pass rush and the receivers are covered, but then there's that wide open field in the middle.
Right.
That's something to watch out.
Who's faster, Winston or Cam?
Oh, Winston by a
Is he? I don't know.
I would think
Cam.
No.
And we were on a wet field. The reason I ask is I almost feel like our pass rush might actually be able to catch him before he runs for a first down like Winston was able to do.
Well, I mean, you know, he's going
to. I'm not trying to dislike. Cam's a good scrambler. All objective. You know, you hate to say that about your division opponents, but Cam Newton can run. So, but I think we can run him down more than we can run Jameis Winston down at this point in 2018.
I don't know. I'd still say Cam's better. But either way, I mean, obviously, McCaffrey's the guy you got to stop.
Yeah.
Gonna come
I think Cam Newton's a better overall quarterback.
I think he's a better runner.
That's easy to say. But, yeah, okay, so you don't think that, you know, they lost five in a row, that they're and this is the Saints that they lost to three times last year. This is their Super Bowl. They're showing up.
I don't think it matters with them. At least the Cowboys were on a roll and are playing better.
Okay.
Again, their quarterback is injured.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that matters. I guess the only question is, I mean, they've lost five in a row. At some point, their losing streak's going to end.
Right?
Why? In 2001, they won their first game and lost the next 15.
Well, but they're not that bad.
You know, I mean, no, but
losing just one of the weird
losing streaks don't have to end. You know, at the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
I mean, they don't have to end.
That's true. Well, they don't have to end now, right? They can win next
year. Yeah. So if they end now, that's fine.
You know, yeah, I'm not worried about losing. I mean, this is a game.
How much do you think, right, the Saints are coming in here, right, you're in the driver's seat, you almost get a second lease on life because of the Rams' loss, and you're not going to want to fuck that up. So the Saints are going right. The Saints have to be coming into this.
Yeah.
There's blood in the air with Cam Newton's injury.
Blood in the air? Is that a saying?
Blood. Yeah, you smell blood in the air, you know?
Yeah.
Look, if a team comes out not ready to play, okay, that is the fault of the coaching staff, not the players, okay? That's the fault of the coaching staff. And I believe that we have a better coaching staff than they do. You know, I believe Sean Payton is better than Riverboat Ron.
Well, that was made obvious last season.
You know, and also remember, you know, the Panthers, even though they're 6-7 now.
Yeah.
Remember, they pulled out a game in New York where their kicker kicked a 63-yard field goal. And there was another game they pulled out. Was it Minnesota? I can't remember. Remember,
There was another one they pulled out of their ass.
Right. I mean, there are two games.
So they really ought to be 4-9.
Right. And again, anytime there's an injury, a shoulder injury with your quarterback, you kind of need the shoulder to throw. That's just that's been my experience, you know. So that's good. We're a better team than they are. Now, they are better at home, and it's going to be chilly. It's going to be in the, I saw something earlier, you know, in the 30s. So we just we have to be ready, but we're a better team, and hopefully we'll not get stuck in the mud like six quarters previously. And again, their defense isn't on par with the Cowboys. Their offense isn't on par with Tampa, which didn't really do anything.
No, I mean, it's just McCaffrey.
Right, right.
So, man, look at this, man. I did not anticipate our division, the rest of our division, being this bad.
Well, no, like you said, the Panthers lost, what, 5 in a row? The Falcons are on a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah, they both lost 5 in a row. I mean, Tampa's Tampa. I knew Tampa was going to be bad.
Well, I'm going to save that for final thoughts. I got it. Right, but Tampa's 6-7?
Yeah, I mean, they're ahead of Atlanta.
Right. They're not, you know, 6-7.
Or no, maybe 5-8. No, I think they're 5-8.
Well, they're 5-8 because we beat
Atlanta. But they're ahead of Atlanta.
Right. They're ahead of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, look, it's going to be a tough game. Like you said, divisional opponents. It's the NFL. So, right, we have to be focused. We control the number one seed right now. Does that mean we don't have to leave the Dome after next Monday?
That would be fantastic.
After Monday night's game, we don't have to leave the Dome. If we're still playing, we don't have to leave the Dome until we go to Atlanta.
Oh, so great.
And look, that's where we want to
fight. Yeah, that's what you play for.
Right. If Sean Payton in the playoffs, he's 5-0 in the Dome and 1-5 in away games. Okay? So you do the math. So anyway, so trust me, I think they're preaching that inside the facility, and I think this team will be ready to play. You know, and we all remember, and Sean remembered, and
the Panthers being 1-5 away games. They're 1-6.
This guy is fucking stupid.
It's not what he said, but thanks for trying to hop in.
Oh. Yeah, thank you. Thanks all for paying attention to the podcast.
Well, I went out and got another beer. That's fine.
Okay, sure you did.
I did.
Sure you did. But anyway,
and
yeah, so. I mean, right, but there's not much, you know. I mean, I don't know, you know, great insight into the game. But all right, we have to stop McCaffrey. And they have their receiver, Moore, right? Moore?
They have Moore. They still have Funchess.
Funchess blows.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. Like I said, I mean, their best receiver, Olsen, is now done. He may never play again.
He might retire. He tore his plantar fasciitis.
Oof.
All right, so what's your score predictions for this week?
100. No, I think I'll say I'm going to keep it low. We haven't scored 30 in a while. I keep predicting it. So let me go 28-13.
Okay, I'm going a close nail biter, 27-24.
Why?
I just think it's a division road game. I just think it's going to be close. For a while when I was driving home, I was like, you know, I might pick the Saints to lose tonight, but I couldn't do that. Only win by 3.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm just a little curious as to whether the offense is out of the slump or if they're still kind of struggling. Is Terron Armstead going to come back?
I would think so, because he did practice on a limited basis last week.
All right. 38-14.
Right.
If Armstead's back, 38-14. If he's not back, then yes, 27-24.
You can't pick my score.
Well, why would Armstead? Okay, never mind.
Why? Because right. I'm not saying Armstead does it all. I'm saying there's a trickle-down effect.
No, you're right. You're right. That's why I stopped you. You're right.
It's Reaganomics. All right, final thoughts?
This is like a trailer to my final thought. starting around Christmas time, I'm going to be doing a Marvel movie rewatch to lead up to Avengers 4. So I'm just going to do a small little recap, little discussion, and my final thoughts to carry on into the off season.
Not now, though. Later.
No. Yeah, now I'm not starting until like.
But
say,
you don't
want to
make
Christmas
your
night.
Final thought about the trailer that you did see this week, though.
Ooh, Avengers 4 trailer. Yep, did come out. Looks very somber. Nothing really.
Or dark.
Both. I mean, they were all sad. Captain America was crying. Hawkeye turned into some ninja.
Oh, that's Ronan.
Well, I know.
Well, that's some ninja.
Well, I don't know if all the listeners are really into that, but yeah, just didn't really spoil any what the plot was.
To it for the next 8 weeks.
Oh, it's going to be longer than 8 weeks.
Oh, sorry.
But you know, in spite of all that,
after the football season, fans, so don't worry.
It was, you know, it ended on a nice, funny note with Scott Lang, Ant-Man coming back. That was funny.
Yeah, that was good.
Needless to say, I'm looking forward to that movie.
All right. Damon, final thoughts?
I'd just like to give a tip of the hat.
Just a tip?
Just a tip to the people of Atlanta and congratulate them on winning the kickball championship. I don't know if our listeners know this, but Atlanta won the kickball championship last weekend.
It's the first major sport championship they've won since since the Braves won the World Series?
Yeah,
94-95, yeah. Right. Yeah. So congratulations on your kickball championship. I know you must be very, very excited.
Well, I remember
Well, they're about to lose their coach and their best players to the Premier League now because they won.
So,
because they're farm team.
Is that true?
Yeah, they're a farm team. I mean, essentially all Major League Soccer in the U.S. is a farm team for the Premier League, just like the NFL Europe and the Canadian Football League is farm teams for the NFL.
Right. Well, college football. But they asked
Arthur Blank, where does this rank? And he said, man, it's up there. It's up at the top.
Well, I guess he has to say that with Matt Ryan.
Right. The only other memory of a championship he has is 28-3. I don't think he puts that one up at the top. But it's number two because that's the only two memories he has. So.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I like soccer more than Damon. And if New Orleans had a soccer team, I'd be excited about them winning the championship. However, the level to which Atlanta is celebrating this it's obvious that they're trying to use it as a replacement for the Falcons.
Right.
More people go to the soccer games than go to the Falcons games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they actually have seats, people in seats.
No, that's not true. For the kickball game, they bar off the top of the stadium. They're averaging like 43,000, which is a very good number.
Which is 20,000 more than the Falcons. Right.
No, that's not true. Well, at least maybe those that show up, I'll give you that. But
yeah.
But they have sold the stadium.
I'm sure they
have
sell
sold.
Them. Yeah, right. Sell, there's a sucker board.
But you're right. People who actually show up, okay, yeah.
And Atlanta sells most of their tickets probably to corporate entities more so than fans. So.
Sure.
Now the other thing you talk about the crowds, like now so this goes back to show you that they talk about the stadium over there and how Chris Collinsworth tried to make excuses for him about they must have good amenities, nobody's in their seats or whatever during the Saints game. I guess the amenities weren't so good at the soccer games. Because I didn't see a bunch of empty seats over there.
Well, the amenities are better than watching the Falcons though. I mean so he might have something.
Aha.
But again, congratulations on your kickball championship. That is very underwhelming.
You're really trying to make enemies out of our Saints UK podcast this week, aren't you?
Well, it's kickball. I don't know what to do. I don't know. doesn't excite me.
Well,
and also,
not like you do know what to do. You kick the ball.
Right. Ooh, look, I kicked the ball. Wee, kick the ball. Very fun. Awesome.
Hey, soccer is fun.
Yeah, 1-2. Exciting. And also...
So it's like 14-7? So it's like the Saints-Dallas game?
It was 10-0.
Okay, but the same
amount. But also, thinking with the Atlanta Falcons, and we spoke about, you know, the Cleveland Browns are 5-7. The Falcons are 4-8. 5-7-1. Atlanta's 4-8.
So the Cleveland Browns have a better record
than the Atlanta Falcons.
Look, like we said, they've never recovered from that Super Bowl loss. And we said they were never going to recover from that.
You can't.
No.
I mean, that would really push my fans. That would really push my fans. Not just the heartbreak. I mean, that has to... Up until losing a loved one, which, you know, is real life, you know. But having your team up 28-3, I mean, you're celebrating.
in the Super Bowl. In the third, not just up 23 like in the first quarter, second quarter.
Right.
In the third quarter, this game's got to be over by now.
Right.
It was over. Everybody in America, turned the game off.
Right. I mean, so that heartbreak. I mean, I only wish it on Atlanta Falcons fans. Nobody else. But them, I definitely wish it on. And I laugh at them, and I drink their tears, and I dance around them. And the only thing that can maybe equal it would be us hosting the Lombardi in the Meadowlands.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that might rank above 28-6. And the combination of the two, their fans could never talk crap to us ever again. We just say 28-3, here's our two champions. So, anyway, I just wanted to point that out and congratulate Atlanta.
All right. Well, that's and that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And follow us on Instagram and tell all of your friends to listen to the Dome Patrol podcast. And if they ask how can they listen, you can say, well, you can listen on your podcast app. But if you don't have a podcast app and you're living under a rock, you can listen at Dome Patrol podcast.
Yeah, I can.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, NFC South donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Go Cinderella. Chopper called me up, it's okay, easy. Now we tag teaming for cheesy. I ask a fool, call me a donkey. Then they crunch balls, I like them chunky.
Top of style, top, top, top of zone. Top of style, top, top. They want top, top. They love top, top. They want top, top. They love top, top. They want top of style, top, top, top of zone. Top of style, top, top. They want top, top. They love top, top. They want top, top. They love top, top. Now where your head go at when you want it from the back? Come on, don't you wobble for me. Come on, listen to what Chopper won't.